Fundraising organization, which has put together the advisory board, the eight organizations, which are listed in our brochure, which are out there. They are all, as you know, very grassroots organizations working for political and both political and environmental change and awareness and bringing awareness to people living in Boston. So to help supplement their budgets, which most of you probably know have to be very meager, we are putting on a concert like this. We also run a campus program, and we're doing that now. I think it's a unique process in the way that money is distributed among these organizations. The representatives from each of those organizations, together with people from Ecologica, sit down. Well, first the organizations submit educational contracts, so to speak. And then they all sit down, the representatives all sit down together and discuss those education contracts and by consensus process decide which organization will get so much money. So, that's it. To have someone like Paul Winter come to a concert such as this, someone who is working at a very grassroots level, who has put together a group of musicians who are probably the most environmentally concerned, aware group of musicians traveling the country today, working towards healing the earth. Would you all give a nice welcome to Paul Winter?
That's our way of saying hello to each other after 2 weeks off the concert tour, and I'd love to have you know that my friends have come here to Boston to make music with me tonight. Playing oboe and English horns, Nancy Rumble. Eugene Friesen on cello. During which time you happen to pick up a little bit of the magic of some of the percussion they have in that amazing country. Ted Moore. And playing guitars and keyboards, one of Boston's greatest gifts to music in our times, Jim Scott. Say something about the experience we've had being near Wales, something about their musicality. And the time we were putting this together in March, we wanted to say something about what it is that the Wales really mean for us. I was fantasizing that so we don't really know what they mean, what they're singing about. That time I was reading daily in the papers about the beginning or the approaching start of the seal slaughter in eastern Canada that many of my friends with Greenpeace were going to be involved in. And I was thinking, well, here we have 180,000 of these extraordinary little seal pups that are going to get clubbed to death because some people in parts of the world feel they need to wear their fur. And maybe we think that the whale song was the largest mammal in the sea, crying out for the fate of these tiny ones. And the song was very much like a lullaby, and I thought it really expressed well the gentleness of the whale. So we called the piece The Lullaby from the Great Mother Whale for the baby seal pups. Thank you. in Scotland to play a place called Findhorn. Amazing community. And we got to travel around a bit in the country and went by Loch Ness, where I got to pose for some gag pictures playing my sax from Old Castle there to Nessie, who didn't, sorry to say, didn't make an appearance. So I don't know what she sounds like, but there's a beautiful city in the north end of Loch Ness for which Jim dedicated this piece, Inverness.
Thank you.
Each year in the last 2 years, I got the chance to go spend a week in the wintertime in Baja California. The whales come in, amazing to Cal, the beautiful lagoon on the Magdalena Island. And while there, Jim has written a number of different pieces. This is one that came out of a trip a year ago that is just now in the form of a duet for guitar and percussion. It's called Compañeros, Friends.
Thank you. Thank you. song for the earth. watching generations come and go. Green and tall, the land is theirs, feeding the soil, clearing the air, living their song, a song for the earth.
I did a number of radio interviews today before the concert, and there and here I asked a lot of people about when's the new album coming. And I wanted to say that we have, in the last year, been planning to start our own label called Living Music Records to release a whole spectrum of all the music that we love, from the sounds of sea mammals in an album that include the new whale song, to Jim's Song for the Earth, to an album of music of Bach that we're doing in September in New York, an album in the Grand Canyon we're going to do at the end of June on a music-making rafting expedition down in Colorado River. Improvising with the echoes in the canyon. A whole series of about 38 albums that we have planned. And it's a good while to get it going, but we think there'll be three or four ready by the end of the summer. And we're not sure yet if we're going to be distributing through just mail or in some kind of a national network. And the way that we can let you know what we're doing is through those slips that I hope you were handing about the Living Music Foundation when you came in, the yellow flyers they have, a blank for your address so we can put you on our mailings. And we have a lot of ambitious ideas that I think really are timely. The record industry is sort of tied in a knot with its disco fever, and we feel it's time for alternatives. So I'm going to just tell you. And ordinarily, when we have an opening group and a concert goes as long as we just play straight through, but we feel that you came and you sat for a long time, we're going to take an intermission after this next piece and then go on and play a whole second set. This is one of our oldest war horses. And whether it's an endangered one yet, I don't know, but we played this since the beginning of the concert 10 years ago. It's based on melody from the peasant music in Central Europe that a great composer of ours, Béla Bartók, a friend one of our favorite composers. We're going to do a program by him called Consorting with Bartók this year for his 100th birthday. And this is a melody that he felt had reflected an ancient tradition of music that he wanted to kind of tap into, just the same way we feel about the whales. And he used this in the piano piece. We've borrowed it from him to make it into a consort piece. It's called The Ballad in 7/8. Thank you. we'd like to do is share the process of music making with people who have not had a chance to do it. And we've for years done a series of workshops that we call homemade music making workshops, which would encourage anybody, regardless of your musical background, to experience expressing yourself through sound, using the instincts that we all have for conversing, improvising with sound in the same way that we all converse all of our speaking lives, improvising with words. And we're going to play a piece from this Persuasion, you know, with the lights out in a minute. And I wanted to tell you that we're going to have an event in which we invite people to join us doing this later this summer at our farm in Connecticut. Since we did the Common Ground Hour as a village of people at the farm a couple of summers ago, a lot of people have asked us, well, do you ever have an event that we can come to and be part of the village? Well, we're going to do that this summer for 2 weeks. 1 week at the end of July and one at the beginning of August. And if anybody would like to join us there, it would be probably just a maximum of 30 people each week. Nancy is our workshop coordinator, so you might speak with her afterwards. And for anybody who has an interest in expressing yourself, just using music as a catalyst or body motion, verbal things, you know, whatever. So, and one of the weeks we'll have an extraordinary postural therapist named Bernice Donalchuk, who's teaching us to stand up straight. Her assistant is a Polynesian dancer who teaches us how to move a little bit. And they're quite amazing people from the West Coast that we've met out there, and they're coming east just to be with us for a little bit. So it's kind of a music in motion experience. And this is simply going to be some brand new music to acknowledge our first appearance on this hallowed campus of Harvard, where I've thought about playing for 15 years, and it's really a privilege to play in this hall. And so this will be music for a spring night in Boston.
Thank you.
pertinent since the last time, almost the last time we played in Boston, we had with us a four-legged friend, a wolf named Slick, who came with us to the Berkeley Center and howled back to an audience of people that had howled to him. And to tell you about the beginning of this piece, it goes back to the first time I had seen a wolf who'd come with a man named John Harris to my town in Connecticut, a magnificent wolf named Jethro, 1968, and done a program for the school children. And John crisscrossed the country for years after that and would seek him out at different places since they'd kind of become a group for that wolf and went anywhere I could to see him. And in 1973, that wolf was poisoned by somebody in Brooklyn who didn't like dogs and wolves. Wanted to write some music then about Jethro and the way he felt about him. And over the years, I eventually had a chance to be with some wild wolves and play a duet to one. A whole piece from our album came from them. And after the album came out, we did a tour in which Slick, who was Jethro's nephew, came with us and did 15 concerts. And was the first wolf to ever howl in Carnegie Hall. And I tell you about that because 2 weeks ago, Slick was shot in New York State by a sheriff that thought wolves were dangerous beasts. And John Harris's owner has been indicted for harboring a vicious animal. And so a lot of us are rallying to support him and testify when he goes to trial on June 21st. And I want to play the wolf song. Don't want to make it a sad thing. It's a kind of music that a lot of people think means sadness, but it's really from a tradition inspired by Brazilian music that has a spirit they call saudade, which means a kind of bittersweet feeling, a kind of glad to be feeling sense, a concept we don't really have in our culture. And when I had done with those wolves, I felt something very deep, something I don't think I could describe in words, but I knew that they had something to teach us from their 30 million years of heritage. And then I was very lucky to have the chance to be with a being like that. And so I want to play this song as a celebration for the living spirit that they would, I think, want to pass on to us. We're among the living now. We have a chance to perpetuate that and to save their kind, who are just symbolic of the whole destruction, needless destruction of the environment by people who have certain mindsets about things. And I think that their music can teach us a way to outgrow that. And I just ask you to join me in this experience of their music. It's a song in which we use a wolf howl as the melody. And it's named after a poem. It was written by a woman in the West Coast whom I met, Joanna McClure, a couple of years ago. And it was about looking into the eyes of a wolf. When I read the poem, I said, gee, that really hits home to me because I had that same experience. I said, where did you meet this wolf? And she said, well, it was a man came to our school here in California with a wolf named Jethro. And so she wrote this poem and I borrowed her title. It's a song called Wolf Eyes.
Thank you. Oh.